anywhere around here yesterday?
No.
No.
Yes.
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 Horrible.
Bad.
Bad. It didn't matter. No, 405, 5, 91, 105. Special Olympics. It was a Special Olympics. That's right. They were, oh, maybe. But they were heading that way. So they were heading south, too. Really? Oh. It was PCH. I went down to visit Bronson down in his store. No, huh? U.S. Open. The U.S. is open. That's good. You know, it's always been so closed to people. Fair, U.S. Open, Special Olympics.
Oh, my God.
And somebody must have put out a free food if you drive sign somewhere. It was nuts. It was nuts. I was actually trying to get away somewhere in order to work on my sermon. And, like, traffic, man. So I just studied in the car, which explains the sermon. I chalk it up. I heard somebody make a comment before church. Riley. It was Riley. Where are you, Riles? There. Hi, Riles. You were saying everyone was panicking about the end of summer.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, it's the end of July. Let's just get in the car and drive. Like, put a barbecue in there, drive, and everything will be okay. It reminds me of what I call junior high, well, I never put junior high in it, but Disneyland Midnight Panic, right? It's 11:30, and you haven't ridden on Monsanto with anyone. Those of you haven't, that was the makeout ride in the 70s. Yeah, it was the ride through inner space, and it was the only ride in Disneyland where you rode just two of you in a dark car. And so that was the makeout ride. And if it was 11:30 and you hadn't gone on the ride with someone, you were panicked because the park closed at midnight. So around about 11 o'clock, anyone, talk to me, you know, right? You guys know that feeling, right? Yeah. It in the world, it happens at 1:45, put it that way, okay? So when the club is about to close, but you got to laugh at it, right? If you're drinking, I'm handsome, you know? Okay, good. But don't quote me on that, and we'll delete that from the internet. There is this kind of limited window thing that does happen. I want you to imagine that right now, somebody emails you or walks up to you and says, all expense paid cruise, month long, on me, we're leaving Wednesday. Right? How do you respond?
Where are we going?
Yeah, where are we going? Okay, for real. Okay. Good. No, no. It's you're just gonna go for a month. Awesome. Get all expense paid cruise. Here, all expense paid cruise. Is that really how you would respond?
Well, it depends on who it was that was telling it.
How would you really respond? Who's going? What's the catch? No.
I might delete it because I thought it was fake.
Yeah.
If it was me.
This is genuine. We're going to say it's legitimate.
Someone we know.
Huh? Oh, would you say yes or would you say, let me make a phone call?
Yeah.
Right? Could you really drop for a month as of Wednesday? Now it's, but I've got to get a sitter for my kids. I need to square it with my...
My boss,
you know, my spouse, sometimes same thing. Right? I've got a square. What else do I have to do? You own a business. What would you have to do? Well, there's a lot of appointments. Yeah. Can you just say, I'm leaving? It's let me negotiate my calendar and commitments, and then get back to you. We pretend that we could respond, but it's not really the case. We pretend that, oh yeah, we're free to do those things. How many of you, honestly, could take a month off starting Wednesday? There we go. Okay. No school? No, or rather, no. You could? When does your paramedic school start? August 25th. Okay. You take 29 days, not 30. Because that means failing. Paramedic school, that phase. Yeah. Would you really be willing to do that for a cruise? Okay, see. We act like we could, but we know we don't. Because we act like we are unencumbered, when in reality we are deeply encumbered, deeply connected to an entire web of commitments. So we pretend that we are free when we are not free. This is that vacation panic, the beginning of vacation season. We have ideations that we're going to go do stuff, right? We're going to, we're free. We're unencumbered for the summer next week. And then we're really unencumbered, well, maybe Friday. And I was when the semester ends, yeah. Hasn't happened. I don't think even a full day so far. I'm staring at August going, no, convocation approacheth. With students arriving, man. Not fun. All of you who have been my students, sorry about that, but I do dread you as much as you dread me. So, somewhere in life, we reach this strange exchange where we are willing to give up breaths and heartbeats for commitment. So all these avenues in our lives where we yield breaths and heartbeats, and we get resource in exchange for those breaths and heartbeats. I always wondered, wouldn't it be interesting to mark money as breaths and heartbeats rather than as dollars? Because that's really where the stuff comes from, isn't it? People trade their lives for that stuff. Exchange their lives for that stuff. And we reach this kind of agreement where I'm willing to have this commitment from you for this stuff, these numbers, and in exchange, I'm willing to yield my breaths and heartbeats. Reality is that we spend most of our lives engaged in activities and thoughts that we would prefer not to be engaged in order to have a few moments of breath of thoughts and behaviors that we do prefer to be engaged in. So we basically trade most of the week for that little tiny window at the end. Or most of the year, think about how much vacation do you really get? How much vacation do you really get per year? Unless you're Australian, then you get about 6 weeks, right, every year. But if you're American, you get 2 weeks. You get 14 days out of 365. That's a great deal. Blech. You get 1/25th of your life. So you spend all year long, most of your time, garnering the resources to somehow sustain activity in that little tiny window of time that's actually yours. Not a great trade, you know. But what's the option? I mean, probably someone who's homeless could go on a month cruise. But then you spend all of your day every day doing stuff you don't like in order to get that little window of sleeping or showering. Believe me, I have lived that way. Not really fun. Just not last week. And as I look around society, I don't see that there's anyone that's really excluded, is there? How much time? Okay, ladies, you've all grown up with Disney movies. And every Disney movie teaches you that you're supposed to grow up to be
a princess. Yeah. Uh-huh. Happily ever after.
Right. How much time do you think any of the British princesses get to themselves? Thank you. I agree with that number. How much time do the princesses get? Do you really want to be a princess? Do you really want all your hair and makeup watched that closely every day? Yeah, if you wear it twice. So that favorite outfit, can't have a favorite. Do you really want to be a princess? Do you want to spend all of your life going to this social club in the middle of Herefordshire and being poised and greeting people and having no meaningful conversations ever while under worldwide scrutiny? You want to be a princess? How about a celebrity? Wouldn't you love to be a celebrity? You know, I hear, so I've had occasion to run into some celebrities who complain about their notoriety. And I always want to say, you worked for that. You worked really, really hard. You pushed other people out of the way, kicked them over, and pushed yourself out in the front and center in order to become out there front and center so everybody knows my... How come you keep looking at me? How would you like... You know what being a world music star means? You can never buy a hamburger in peace. Matt, if you were Brangelina, right? That's strange. Anyway, if you were Brangelina, the blurred identity there, could you go to McDonald's? Not without bodyguards? Drive-through, that's it. Yeah, maybe. Fast. Sitting in the back behind tinted windows. You know what you made? You made yourself a social prison that you have to live in. And its activities and behaviors are expected of you. Warren Buffett, he tries to live simply, can't do it. If the guy belches the wrong way, people make predictions on the stock market. It's like, oh, obviously, he belched after eating Pizza Hut. That means Pizza Hut's going down. Got to watch every word. How about people are scrambling to become the president again? You know, all these people, I want to be the president. I want to be the president. That's what they all sound like. Except for Hillary. She's, I want to be the president. I want to be the president. Why? If history has taught you anything, it's that the presidency is phenomenally frustrating. No matter what you want to do, you can't get it done. Maybe the vice president. Then you still get frustrated, but nobody knows your name. Isn't that that white-haired guy? Do you really want to be an athlete or a model? As much as we fantasize about the privileges of these positions in society, we know that they're not there. Those privileges. I think that's maybe why we fantasize about it. Like, maybe I could be a princess in a faraway land. Not me, you know. No. Maybe I could be a princess in a faraway land where I live in a big castle and I actually have privileges. Instead of just noblesse oblige. Sorry, that's what it sounds like in my mind. She's a very old princess who smoked Marlboros. Okay?
I'm a princess, yeah. Only on the weekends, there's no video.
Marnie is wincing. We hope you have a great time at your next church. I think deep down, we suspect and realize that there is no such thing as autonomy in this life, and that's why we fantasize about it. We know that no matter where you go, someone's going to have their hooks on you. and you're not going to be free. And we keep trying to imagine, maybe if I worked for myself, right? Your business owns you, right? If you own your business, the grammar is wrong. The syntax should be the other way around. I don't own my own business. My own business owns me, right? You can never get away from your boss. Well, maybe if I were wealthy. I used to, Andrea's, you work with wealthy people, not free. What happens?
They're not happy.
Nothing. And there's really very little liberty. If you go down the harbor, see those like mega yachts. Imagine that you're, you know, some incredibly wealthy person, and you own this 140-foot mega yacht with the helicopter on it. You are phenomenally wealthy. Now think for a moment. 140 feet by 40 feet wide. Do the math. How many square feet per deck? Roughly about 6,000 square feet per deck, four decks, 24,000 square foot vessel. Okay, like having six houses. And you're just going to take it out for a spin.
Yeah, honey, I'm just going to go down to the yacht, take it out for a spin.
You're going to be able to do that? No, what do you have to have? A crew. You got to have a crew. And how often do you have to... how often do you have to have that crew? You have to have that crew on retainer. And let's see, roughly $15 to $20 per foot per month minimum for that vessel. Means you've got to be paying about $3,000 a month just to have it sit in the water that comes in for free. Plus each of those guys at easily $3,000 to $5,000 a month, crew of six. What are we looking at here? We're looking right now, $40,000 a month just to keep it waiting for you at the curb. $40,000 a month. Not to mention hauling it out every year and fixing it and cleaning it and repairing it. Fuel, which is about $4,000 to $5,000 every time you take it out of the harbor. Good. And then there's the payments on that thing, which are $3 million. How much money you better be making? Remember, this is your recreational vehicle. How much? You got to say millions. This many. Yeah. Exactly. Turn to Ecclesiastes, please. You guys know it's going to be depressing. Why? It's Ecclesiastes. There we go. Ecclesiastes is the sad kid in the corner of the Bible. Yeah, but you're going to die, dude. Yeah, but you're going to die. That's all Ecclesiastes does. He had lots of lattes. Actually, no, I just do espresso, man, because... Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and you know it's bad. Starting at verse 8. If you see in a province the oppression of the poor... and the violation of justice, right? Here we go. Good themes. If you see in a province the oppression of the poor, the violation of justice, then, and righteousness, then don't be amazed. The high official is watched by higher, and there's yet higher ones over them. This is a gain for land in every way. A king committed to cultivated fields. Even the king has... political polls on him. What Congress or House of Representatives just passed day before yesterday, passed a measure to prohibit GMO labeling. The House passed this, yes, to prohibit GMO labeling. Gene-modified organizations, or organisms rather. Gene-modified, you know, GMO. Genetically modified organisms. Genetically modified organism. Federal House of Representatives passed a law to prohibit labeling those. Which people?
Not people.
What? Corporations are people now. That's good. You telling me if you're a congressman, you don't have tugs on you? A king committed to cultivated fields?
As long as they are cultivated with Monsanto patented grain.
Eh? Ow.
Yeah, I said that. We can edit that and they'll come and get me in my home.
Verse 10. He who loves money or silver will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is emptiness. When goods increase, they increase who eat them. Read here, your yacht. So here's your option. You can either not live like you have a lot of wealth, or you can live like you have wealth, but then you better keep earning it at an amazing rate. So either way, you are a slave. Either you live without those resources, or you live with those resources, but you better serve those resources, because there are lots of people eating those resources. As soon as it goes up, it gets worse. Anybody here ever owned a business? Good. Ever employ someone? Yeah. What starts to ride on your back all the time? Payroll. Keeping payroll. Used to be you only had to provide for your family. Now you better provide for 5 families, 10 families. You thought you were getting free by being the boss. No, when goods increase, so do those that eat them. And what advantage has their owner but to see them with his eyes?
Yeah, that's my yacht. I can't ever take it out, but it's pretty. It could go to the Bahamas if I ever got a day off.
Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much. But the full stomach of the rich won't let him sleep. There is a grievous evil that I've seen under the sun. Riches were kept by the owner to his hurt. And those riches were lost in a bad venture, and he's a father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand, and as he came from his mother's womb, so shall he go again, naked as he came, and shall take nothing for all his toil that may be carried away in his hand. This also is a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for wind? See, the wheels of time will certainly show us that we are not independent. We start dependent as an infant, and we end weak and dependent. And the longer we survive, the more time will teach us that lesson. Because time and gravity will get everybody and strip us. Life is designed to strip us of our illusions of self-autonomy. Although that's a little bit of a repetition there, self-autonomy. Autonomy. It boils down to the Bob Dylan song, which I like because it's old. It was first recorded in vinyl, right? You gotta serve somebody. Right? I don't like his voice, but I do like the line. You gotta serve somebody. You've got to serve somebody. No matter the illusion that you don't. It's really fun watching school kids get disillusioned at graduation. Like, I'm finally free to get a job. No! It's like that freeze moment, like, as the cap is falling off of their head. No, now you really get responsibility. That's been a cakewalk, boy! Can I go back? No! Because even if you have that choice to get away from one boss, you are going to be under another boss, and it's still bossdom that you will be under, which is a little bit like the late 70s. Everything was boss then. But, right?
Thank you. Old people, I appreciate that.
Okay. It's still going to be a different boss with a different face, but the same scenario. The equation doesn't change. It's still a boss over you. You might be serving the woman, but you're still serving the man. Right? And we can't get away. political constituencies own their leaders. There's a line, I forget who it was. It was a leader of one of these mobs in the French Revolution. And the royal forces put up a barricade after the mob had, you know, to try to stop the movements of the mobs through the streets. The guy was trying to get through the barricade, and the French forces wouldn't let him through. And he said, I must go with them. I am their leader. Oh, really? Then how come they went that way and you're here and you're following them? Everybody has a constituency that demands something. So I want you to imagine, what if you could choose between working at a coal mine like my grandfather did when he started at age 9? Yeah, his family came over from Austria. They saw an ad in a newspaper promising the new life in America. So they came over from Austria, and it was coal mining in Wyoming. He started at age 9. And the houses were owned by the coal mine, and the store was owned by the coal mine, and all 10 children, except the one who burned to death with a kerosene stove, worked in the coal mines. And you go into the mine before it was light, and you come out of the mine when it's dark, and for months you never see daylight. What if you could choose between that and being quality control at, say, Marriott Resorts? Yeah, I'm quality control. I go and I test the Marriott resorts, and I see if all the resorts are working well by playing the secret customer. So I'm the secret customer person. I go, I lay out by the pool and order drinks and see if they come to me in time. What if you could get the same pay for both jobs? You got a choice between which one you're going to take.
I think I might take the coal mine. I like the dark and black lung disease.
Same pay. You would be a fool to choose the mine, right? Same pay. You just get to choose your boss. You're going to be under a boss, but which boss are you going to be under? So that's the issue. What if you could choose between being under a benevolent manager or an exploitive manager? Decent? Please turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, which says, you know, you got to serve somebody. Starting at verse 15. Romans chapter 6. What then? Are we to sin because we're not under law but under grace? By no means. Meganoita. Literally, may it never come into being, but it's a big no. If you can think of how we would say, certainly no in English. Got that in your heads? Certainly no. No in bold and italics? Good. That's what this means in Greek. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you're the slaves of the one you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. Note, there is no middle option here. There is no liberty here. You don't get the choice, maybe I'll be autonomous. No. There are no princesses in the world, really. You get to serve somebody. You just get to choose who, because you gotta serve somebody. You get either to choose sin and death, or life, obedience, and righteousness. Or cake. No, you don't get cake. You just get life or death. But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, having become slaves of righteousness, I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as once you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. So many times I've heard people who have grown up in the church say, as they're in their youth saying, I just want to go be free. I think you just want to go be enslaved. Because if you've got to go light up four times a day, you are not free. You are a slave to your dealer. And you are a slave to that stuff. You're not free. If you're free, try stopping. You don't want to stop. So not even your desires are free. Your desires are enslaved too. You don't even have a choice to make the choice. Yeah. Have you ever met somebody who was greedy, who was free? Somebody who was lustful, who was free? Not free to sin, you're a slave to sin. Have you ever met somebody who's proud, who doesn't have to protect their reputation at any cost? Not free, enslaved. You get to serve somebody, sin or life. Verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Let's see. I'll take life in the mines, please. And by the way, the reward is death. That's great. Because, I don't want to be one of those softies at the resort. You're nuts. You're either proud beyond imagination or a fool. I'm going to choose death because everyone chooses the Marriott Resort. That's right, because it's the Marriott Resort. I won't. Then you deserve the black lung. Knock yourself out, dude. If you are that willful that you're willing to eat garbage and die just so you don't do it somebody else's way, then you deserve everything you get. There's the door. Paul says, you want to be a slave to sin? Bye-bye! Because Jesus is offering life like this. Like, sure, I'll tell you what, I'll give you an amazing wage. You just have to serve me. You have to be a slave to righteousness. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Horrible job. Two, please. Thank you. Jesus says, will you serve this? How about I give you the absolute cush job? You get life everlasting, the Holy Spirit living inside of you, empowerment to give up your sins. You get love and the peace of God and comfort for your soul and forgiveness immediately. And all you have to do is say, I bow. Because you're going to bow to the other thing, but it's going to reward you with loss and trial and pain and sorrow and horror. But what fruit were you getting at the time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do the math. If you are a hopelessly impaired accountant, you will choose death on the math. Yeah, do the math. I want wages. Let's see. I want to work in the coal mines and pay them to do it. Ugh. See, but what trips us up is this little word, slaves. That's the part we don't like. Greek term doulos, plural, douloy. Douloy, oh, douloy, oh, do you remember me? And you will remember it. Douloy, oh, douloy. Okay? Douloy. And you'll find some of your, how many of your translations say servant? Okay? No, it's slave. It's just softening it for modern ears. Servant. You mean like servant whose absolute will is under yours? Yes. Okay. Servant who doesn't get a day off? Yes. Servant who is owned by you and can be sold by you? Yes. That kind of servant. Okay. Slave. Servant. Yes. There's another term for servant in New Testament, or minister. Somebody who like serves you. That's diakonos. Okay, where we get our term deacon from. So if you ever need anything, just ask a deacon. They have to do it. Because they're servant. Make me a serpent. Servant. Sorry. Humble and make. Anyway. Doulos is a slave. It's a slave. There's a number of ways that you could become a slave in those days. You could be captured in war. Think about that. You could be captured in war, and then somebody defeats the person who captured you in war, and you become their slave. You just get traded off, a little bit like football teams. That's how we got slaves. You can make yourself a slave because you have loyalty to somebody. You could be born into a household and be a slave. All those apply to the religious life, right? Born into it, bought into it. But you got to understand that slavery in those days was like Social Security. If you couldn't make it through life, you could become someone's slave. There were no guarantees you would starve to death. Otherwise, you'd say, I will trade my will for your responsibility now is to keep me alive, and my responsibility is to do everything you say. That's a pretty good trade-off for the ancient world especially. But we don't like that slave thing. Even though we know that we're trading our breaths and heartbeats every day, it's not that we have a problem with exploitive relationships. We're already engaged in them. We already submit our wills to people all day, most of our waking hours. We submit our wills to people, and we're exploited for it, and we agree to it. It's not that we have a problem with exploitive relationships. It's just that we want the option sometimes to take a break. We want to be able to opt out. And we comfort ourselves with the idea that we can opt out when we want. We don't want to be stuck in it. We want to, I'm going to change jobs. I'm going to walk out right now and go get another job just like this one with another boss with a different face who's going to treat me exactly the same way. But I have choice. You see, most of our protest against slavery is really just that we want safeguard to our dignities of being fickle. We want to be able to say that we're on the clock and being exploited and submitting our wills. And then I choose to be off the clock, and I can lie to my boss some days and take a day off when I'm not really sick. We want to reserve to ourselves the option to opt out when we want, even though we can't. Well, I could take a month off if I wanted to. Really? Not going to lose your job?
I'll go get another one just as exploitive as that one.
I think so, yeah. But I want to reserve that right to myself to say I'm off the clock. And this is what bothers us about our Christianity. See, because we want the option to choose not to act like Christians sometimes. That's why the idea of being a slave to Christ bothers us. Even though Jesus calls us slaves in Luke, you got a couple of minutes. Look over at Luke 12. This is one of the fun Jesus passages that we don't really talk about much. Actually, let's start Luke 17, and then we'll go to Luke 12. Luke 17 frames it a little bit better, starting off. Jesus speaking. Luke 17, starting at verse 7. Will any one of you who has a slave plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you can eat and drink? So does he thank the servant because he did what he was commanded? Oh, should we do that line again? Does he thank that servant because he did what he was commanded? Now stop just for a moment and think about how we act in church.
But I didn't get thanked. I wasn't recognized for all that I've contributed for so many years.
What if you never got thanked for anything you did at church? You came early, you sat up, and everyone goes, What if you never got thanked? What if you never got affirmed? What if you never got complimented?
I've been serving there for a long time, and I've never got a thank you card or a call or...
Do we expect Jesus to serve us first? Make sure that we're okay? Invite us in. Hey, would you like some dinner? Can I get you anything? Are you okay today? Sometimes Jesus says, come in and worship me. Well, am I going to get some like emotional something out of this? Because I'm just not feeling this today. Worship me. I'm not comfortable. It's a little loud. Jesus says, come in, serve me. We've been looking at metaphors of the church, and one of the metaphors of the church that we don't embrace very well is the metaphor of slavery. The church is a workforce of slaves. One of the primary metaphors. This is what Paul calls himself. That's what Peter calls himself. That's what everybody calls himself, slaves. The church is a workforce of slaves, and slaves are acquired by owners in order to produce for them. I don't like that. You're going to do it for someone. You're on the food chain. It doesn't matter whether you're up or down the food chain. You're on the food chain. You will be producing for someone. Now, do you want your wages to be little bits of money that put you... And by the way, we don't have any problems exploiting others either. We just pass along the food chain because we do buy all of our stuff from China, right? And did we ever say, you know, are they getting enough wages? We just don't notice them. The Lord says, serve me. It says... Does he thank the servant because of he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded. Oh, I'm not there yet. I would like to be there, but I am not. I'm trying. Say, we are unprofitable servants. We're unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. Duty. We say that? Duty. Duty. Duty's a burden. I don't want to hear about duty. I want to hear about privilege. I want to be a princess. Not realizing that most of a princess's life is duty. Pardon the pun. Luke chapter 9. Yes, I have seen Caddyshack. Okay, good. Luke chapter 12. This one's fun too. Luke chapter 12. Starting at verse 41. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for everybody? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he'll set him over his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he doesn't expect him and at an hour he doesn't know and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. So, by the way, do watch how you treat other Christians. And that servant who knew, this is a fun verse, and that servant who knew his master's will but didn't get ready or act accordingly will receive a severe beating. That's Jesus, right? And the servant, this is a slave, and the slave who knew what to do and didn't do it will receive a severe beating. But the one who didn't know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. So you can either do what you knew and you ignored, you get a heavy beating. You didn't know and you were ignorant and you thought you were doing the right thing, well, you just get a light beating. The beatings will now begin. But the one who didn't know and did what deserves a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. How much have you been given, by the way? How much have you been given? Everything. Okay. Yeah, everything will be required of you. If you've been given that much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. I came to bring fire on the earth. So ignorance is bliss, and we all want to be ecstatic. We want to be able to quit with a guarantee of rehire. We want to be able to quit at will. We want to be able to hold up our wills. We want to be able to say to Jesus, you know, not today, I have some other commitments. And expect him to be waiting when we come back. You want to know the killer? That means we don't want Jesus ever to get a day off. We don't want God to get the option out. We want to be able to say, I can opt out whenever I want. I want to reserve the right to be fickle, but you had better not be fickle. You had be better waiting there, always to fix me with open arms, which means we want to be the master and we want God to be the slave. Because he better be ready to fix me and ready to receive me, and he better be on 24/7. And if God ever go, you know what? I'm planning on being fickle today. I'm going to the Bahamas.
Meteor strikes Earth. Everyone dead, you know? Oh, wait. Everyone died immediately anyway, right?
Oh, no. We want God to be completely bound to us while we reserve the option not to be bound to him except when convenient. This is the opposite of the Christian confession. Please turn to Romans 10. Light day today. It could be worse. See, I have to listen to these sermons three times. Once when I prepare them, once when I deliver them, and once when I debrief them with the Lord. So I got to listen to it three times for every one of yours. Romans 10. Look at verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, Hakurios, the Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hakurios, the master. So here's your choices. You can either be a slave to life in the system and die for it, or you can be a slave to Jesus and righteousness and call him Lord. Do you know why Christians were killed in the Roman era? Because they would not call Caesar Lord. there was a law that said that you had to burn incense to the genius of the emperor. That's his family spirit, right? And that was to show your loyalty, like saluting the flag. And you had to burn incense and say, Caesar curias estin. Or Caesar estin ha curias. And Christians would only say, Jesu curias estin. Jesu curias estin. Jesus is Lord. I will not say Caesar is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And they were put to death as insurgents because they would not be loyal. Are you willing to confess Jesus? Not just as Savior, friend, repairer, handyman, physician, psychologist, counselor, life coach. Jesus is Lord, and never to opt out. Because if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Jesus, Jesu, Kurios, Estin. And we get no vacations from that. None. And he takes no vacations from us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess you are Lord. You are risen from the dead, and you are Lord. We relinquish to you all of our vacations and days off. We invite you to close up the window on our fickleness. We don't want to opt out. We want to stay in. Thank you for your great patience, Lord Jesus. In your name, Lord Jesus, to your glory, amen. Would you please stand? Ordinarily, I give a benediction at this time. Let's close the service this way instead. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. And he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Go in grace.